Welcome to this service, December 27th. It's kind of this service in the middle of no person's land, you know, where you have had Christmas and we're anticipating Epiphany, but what do we do with the middle part? It's kind of like life, you know, you have the beginning and the end, and sometimes we seem to wonder where the middle has gone. And so this is kind of the hidden part, the ordinary part, much like life. You take your bulletins, let me just read the focus statement for this morning. The gift of Jesus is a gift that shapes the church's life. After Christmas celebrations in which we spend time with our families and friends, it's good to remember on the Sunday after Christmas that our primary family is the church. Freedom in Christ is evidenced by a spirit of cooperation, not competition. Through service and bearing with one another, despite conflicts and differences, we move forward. It is in the community of faith that we learn to live and practice the freedom that God gives us. Just as Mary learned in the story of Jesus in the temple, even the bonds of natural families serve a higher calling. First of all, I would invite you to look at your bulletins and share reading with me the call to worship this morning. It's in the dark print. I'll read the leader normal print, and then if you could follow with people, then all together we'll speak the all part. Praise the Lord. Sing praise all the heights. Praise God, all the earth. Sing praise, all fruit trees and hills.
Praise God, all the animals. Sing praise, creeping things and flying birds.
Young men and women alike, old and young together, let all that has life and breath praise God. If you look through your bulletin, you'll find a few announcements. First of all, next Sunday we will conclude our series of the Advent and Christmas season, and Donovan will be leading the service, and I'll be speaking on the path of inclusion. Then also Covenant Adult Connection classes, we're going to begin a series on stewardship, and they'll be led by Doug and Norman, and I would invite all of you to come and share that time. It'll be a rich time of reflection, also learning, and I hope that you can come participate in that. All the Sunday school classes, all the connection classes will continue next Sunday. And again, it was good to see many of you at the service on Christmas Eve. It's again a lovely service, and thank you to so many of you who participated in that. Our next big event is the Covenant New Year's Party. It's a pizza party, and Pearl, you have many things to share with us.
I'm either Dawn or Laura or Peter, the Worst Fellowship Committee. Neither are here. I will pass around the sheet that Dawn started last week and asking if you are coming, please indicate how many in your party and if you'd like to bring a salad or dessert. It starts at 6. Here it says 6 o'clock and here it says 6:30.
Oh, great. It doesn't start at 6? Okay, well, there you go.
I don't know.
We can make it what we want. What do we want?
I don't know.
I can send an email and I'll say 6
want?
O'clock.
6 o'clock? 6 sure. O'clock? Okay. And note, you're all supposed to bring your own beverage as well. So I will hand this around, and please return this to me so it should go this way. Okay? Games, puzzles, whatever, and a good time.
Okay, I'll make that correction. Norman, please.
What if we signed last week, by the way?
That's good, then you don't have to sign.
Okay.
So maybe that's what
you did. You have to bring twice as much.
I feel this morning like the Spanish conquistador many years ago who stood on the shores of one of the South American countries. He was supposed to proclaim that country to be Catholic from heretofore, and whether there was anybody there to hear it or not didn't matter. That's the way I feel. There's really very few people this announcement applies to. But this is, the year end is approaching, and that's when treasurers get very fidgety. So I just want to tell you, if you have, if you want to make any donations and get a receipt for December, then please do it in December. Sometimes people come, you've been good about that. Sometimes people come in the middle of January and they want to make a donation and get a receipt for December. And that's something I really like not doing. So if we could get the business done in December. And also I have placed some requisition forms in my mailbox if you want to hand in some expense. And I expect to be here at the pizza party. You can still hand in your requisitions then for expenses. And let's just get this year's business done this year. And I need to leave early, so don't expect to buttonhole me after the service, but you can catch me again on, which night is that? December 30th.
30th.
Yeah. At 6 or 6:30.
Okay, then for the sake of simplicity, let's just say that our year end is December 30th, and that'll clear up all confusion. Any other items that don't appear in the bulletin? Just for those of you in planning and steering, just remember the covenant calendar there. There have been some dates that have been added. Those are important for us, and we need to remember those. And then, of course, there's at the end of it, for everyone who is part of covenant, the annual meeting will be on the 11th and the 13th of February. So make those notes in your calendar so that you can attend and be part of the decision group. Yes?
And the planning and steering was changed to the 20th.
The 20th.
Wednesday, the 20th.
Man, I just read the minutes and I thought, oh, there it said 21. Okay, it's the Wednesday, 20. 2-0. Make that correction immediately, those of you who are involved. Okay, seeing no other notices, let's continue on with our service. This morning, I'd like to ask that we take the offerings now so that we can spend the rest of our time sharing together in different ways. And I would ask that, Marlene, you've got the offering bags, great. So let's just bow for prayer and then we will take the offering. Lord, at this time of the year, we thank you for the bounty which you have so richly given us. Thank you also for the opportunity to share that with others in need, with others who have great difficulties in finding even food or peace or, in fact, hope. We pray that our offerings would contribute to the work of your church and your spirit in the world. And we ask that it would be used to build your kingdom of peace and love. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our service this morning will be made up mostly of your contributions. Trust that you have thought of something, prepared something, or are open to just sharing the time together, either in quietness or in reflection on what you hear shared by others. To begin, let's start with a song. Number 212, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Thank you very much. 212. And let's stand if we're able. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us any other songs or some item that you'd like to share at this point? Reading from scripture, a prayer, a piece of music, a reflection. Please.
This year, as we were walking toward Christmas, the news was full of the plight of a lot of people who, for reasons beyond their control, were not able to live in their land in any manner. And so countries are being torn asunder, families are being torn apart. Peace is not something we see much of. And I had recently read a story. I think some of you will be familiar with the story, but I'd like to share it because I think it fits in nicely with it. In 1962, Don and Carol Richardson went to New Guinea as missionaries. They were going to a tribe called the Sawi people, and they were a cannibalistic headhunter kind of group of people. And they went there as missionaries, being fully aware of the danger they were putting their lives in regards to the nature of the people, as well as the many diseases that were rampant in the rainforest there. But it was a story that touched me when I read it, and apparently there's a book out on it with the title of what I'm going to be reading about. When Don and Carol arrived with the Sawi people, he discovered that the Sawi language was a difficult one to master. Don soon learned that there were 19 tenses for every Sawi verb. But cultural differences turned out to be an even bigger barrier than the language differences. When Don tried to explain the gospel story to the Sawi people, he learned that they regarded treachery and deception as a virtue. So when he told them the story of Judas betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, they applauded Judas as the hero. His attempt to present Jesus as Lord and Redeemer met with laughter and derision. The warlike nature of the Sawi was another problem. Don and Gloria had tried to get the tribespeople of the three Sawi villages to come together into one peaceful community, but their efforts backfired, and it seemed that full-scale tribal war might break out any day. The Richardsons decided they needed to leave, not out of concern for their own safety, but to enable the three villages to return to their state of isolation from one another and reduce the risk of violence. However, when the Sawi people heard that the Richardsons planned to leave, they begged the couple not to go. The Sawi even promised that they would make peace between the villages if the Richardsons would stay. So Don and Carol arose at dawn to watch the Sawi peace ritual unfold. And what they witnessed was astonishing and deeply moving. And this is the part that, to me, is the key here. In a village, a family was chosen, and that family had to send a child to live with a family in the other village. As long as the child lived, peace would continue. But it was hard to find a family willing to make that heart-wrenching sacrifice. Finally, one tearful father picked up his son, his only son, and rushed, in fact his only child, and rushed to hand the boy over to his enemies. The enemy villagers selected a child and gave that child in trade. And so the Sawi villages established peace. Watching this scene, Don Richardson was struck by a realization. He had just seen a beautiful reenactment of the Christian gospel. The village child was called the peace child. The Sawi expected deception and treachery from one another, but if a man would give his own son to his enemies, he proved he could be trusted. No tribesman would ever attack a neighboring village if his own son lived in that village. Don Richardson began teaching the Sawi people about a father who gave his only son to the human race while they were still his enemies. God proved he could be trusted by sending his only son to live among us. Jesus is the peace child, the Prince of Peace, who brings peace with God. And hopefully a lot of people will in the near future be able to experience that peace.
This is by way of addendum to what Doug has said at the outset. And we know at this time of year, when we speak of the gospel, it means good news and the good news of the coming of Jesus. I was struck this week reading in the editorial in The Voice, it said, no shortage of good news here. And Ashley Viveros, in her editorial, writes, having worked in this community for over a decade now, I'm no stranger to seeing firsthand the generosity of the people who live here. And she goes on to speak of the challenges she has as an editor, finding space for all the stories of the good things that are happening. I recall years ago when discussing with her about journalism, there is a phrase, good news is no news. But it can be, and certainly is, and she's reflected it in her editorial. A story that isn't covered in it, I'll take one that is first. About 2 weeks ago, there was an article on the Morton Redskins had a hockey fundraiser for the cheer board, and they played the police and firemen, a team called the Guns N' Roses, and they were ecstatic. They raised $6,000. When we started our giving campaign this year, I was aware that 2 years ago, very generously, Covenant gave $1,750 to it, and last year, $2,100 and some. And I was hopeful that this year we might see again a couple of $1,000s, because knowing the kind of impact it could have in providing food assistance for refugees, we were successful. In fact, the first week, over $2,000. The total has been, if I recall correctly, $6,220-some. Phenomenal generosity on your part, and we are very grateful. As well, then, we've had the number on the tree, but 2,781 people will receive food assistance for a month as a result of that. It is good news, and as we hear the refugees coming into Canada, one of the things they're commenting on is that in the refugee camps, they have had reasonable safety, but they've been hungry. And I've thought of that as we've enjoyed an abundance of food over the last few days and probably will continue. I hope that they come to know what the food security can be, but for those who are still in the refugee camps, what you have done in your donations to Canadian Food Grains will give some of that security for them too. So a large thank you.
Do you think enough of us know 213 so we can sing that?
Well, I know enough of us to think that we'll give it a good try. Can you play it through?
I want to read a poem entitled Christmas's Gift of Water and Wood. From the lonely wooden stall to the mountain of God, rivers of life come cascading down. I am there, standing in the spray flowing from Jesus's pierced side. heart in readiness with outstretched hands, to be gloriously washed in the water of God's Lamb born long ago, then hung on a cross cut from a tree. Noah was washed through the storm, carried on water from the Lord, not knowing whether up or down or under the wave, but safely tucked inside, salvation brought in the shelter of an ark, crafted from a tree. Peter, the fisherman, negotiated the sea in vessels fashioned out of wood. When one day heard the creator of wind and water inviting, "Come, walk on water with me," daring, left safety, stepped outside, lost sight of the one who called, engulfed by waters, cried out. That cry was heard, caught with outstretched hand, brought up from his watery grave, safe yet again in a vessel fashioned from wood. I am not Noah, neither a Peter am I, but you, the babe born long ago, invite to get in, step out, reach, look up, safety find in that life-giving tree, crafted from spirit, not wood, who from eternity has been pursuing, patiently waiting, bringing rivers renewal, bought through the spilt water and blood while in flesh hanging on wood. Ever inviting into this life-giving, thirst-quenching, heart-cleansing, river of spirit's new refreshing rain, spilling the water of life into all, bringing refreshment to those who receive. The very God who in a manger lay, hung on a tree, then whom God raised for all to see. Come one, come all, enter river's flow, never to be the same. Carried over, under, and through, hidden in life's storm, safe in the ark of promise, celebrating, becoming more like the one born in a bed fashioned of wood. And then, can we sing 121 in Sing the Story? Nothing is lost on the breath of God. I know that's not a Christmas carol, but...
That's good. That's good.
To be seeking and finding. lost in the heart of God. Nothing is lost forever. God's heart is love, and that love will remain, holding the world forever. No impulse of love, no office of care, moment of life in its dullness. No beginning too late, no ending too soon, but is gathered and known in its goodness.
Thank you. Please, Myra.
I'm going to read a short reading from a book called To Bless the Space Between Us by John Donahue. It's a book of blessings, and one of the great blessings in our life is the friendship with Leah, who gave us this book, and we've really been enjoying it. This reading is called For a New Beginning, and this is a time of year when we think back over the last year, think ahead to the next year and to the opportunities it might bring and to the new places we can journey in our life. So this is a blessing for new beginnings. In out-of-the-way places of the heart where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plentitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of the beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you.
Thank you, Myra.
Leah and Cheryl and two little peoples up. And Natalie. You don't think you're qualified for little peoples? Little big peoples? Let's see what's going to happen here. Okay. The world was about to change forever, and it almost went by unannounced. But the leaves that night rustled with a rumor. News rang out across the open fields. A song drifted over the hills. The wind whispered softly in the sycamore trees that waved their moonlight branches to the sky. It's a squirrel, yes. A barn owl took flight. Oh, there's the barn owl. a woodland creature stirred, the bunny did. It's time, it says it's time. Wonder for what?
Princess.
We'll find out. In the pine woods, two deer raised their heads. A big brown bear sniffed the air. A red fox darted. The faces of little flowers lifted to the skies. It's time! It's time! The skies shouted to the seas, that thundered it to the waves, that roared it to the great white whales, that sang into the starfish in the deep. And tiny sandpipers danced in on shining sands. It's time. It's time. Wonder what? The running rivers bounded over boulders, and the otters clapped and played and sang to the ducklings that splashed and quacked to the salmon that leaped and leaped. And tiny field mice and insects and little creeping things and sparrows and a bee. Yes, and every single blade of grass squeaked and hummed and chirped and sang. Time. It's time. Wild stallions drummed to the ground. Get ready. Get ready. Be glad. Be glad. That's a big horse. On a lonely peak, a lion raised his strong head and roared out loud to the empty wilderness, the mighty king, the prince of peace. All the stars joined together in a chorus that rang out through the heavens, the bright and morning star. And on a hillside overlooking a little town, sheep nuzzled their new lambs. Good shepherd. Right, that's what they sang. Suddenly, angels lit up the whole sky and a great chorus sang out loud.
Jesus.
It's time. He's come. At last, he's here. And Jesus. In the little town, Jesus. In a little shed, can't find the shed, in a little window, a candle flickered in the dark. And a tiny cry rang out in the cold night. And high above, a single star, set in the highest heavens, shone out brighter than all the others and poured down silver onto a little shed. A light to light up the whole world. The animals stood around his bed, and the whole earth and all the stars in the sky held its breath. The one who made us has come to live with us. A young mother with no place to rest, nowhere to stay, kept it as a song inside her head. Our rescuer, the little baby. Heaven's son sleeping under the stars that he made. It was time. Okay? There you go. All right. Okay, back to your chairs. Okay.
Those of you who remember or were here at the time, this little crash in front of the tree was donated by Helen Dick, who unfortunately can't be here because of illness. But it was really interesting on Christmas Eve. Her daughter, Tracy, was here for the service. And after the service, she came to me and asked where the crash was, where the nativity scene was. She remembered that, and she had heard that we had put it up. And it was one of those very touching moments for her to come and actually see it here at the front of our church, and watching how the children responded to this little creche, and now how also Tracy, who was there many years ago when it was first bought, also responded to it, I thought was quite remarkable. So anyway, that's great. Any other ones to share, have something to say, or suggest a song, or just do a reflection? The text for today, in case we never did think of what that might be, it was in the bulletin, and I just wanted to read that for you today. It's from Luke chapter 1, or I should say 2. The end of Luke 2, verse 41. It's the story of Jesus in the temple. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and human beings. I have a little reflection here that I was quite moved by. It's a kind of weekly blog that I follow sometimes. And I'd just like to read part of it. Most of us live hidden and unheralded lives. We live, die, and then we'll be forgotten to history. We will be lucky if even our grandchildren remember us. My friend Betsy is a stay-at-home mom who left a career as an attorney to cook, clean, do laundry, and chauffeur 5 kids to the dentist, school, birthday parties, and sporting events. Her husband enjoyed a prestigious career. Claudette raised a family but now lives alone in a tiny apartment as an elderly widow. Dan was a high-flying business executive who was unemployed for several years after the economy cratered. Some believers have chosen hiddenness. Fourth century monastics fled the corruptions of crowded cities to seek Jesus in the vast solitude of the Egyptian desert. The Trappist monk Thomas Merton spent 27 years cloistered in Gethsemane Monastery in Kentucky, but nonetheless spoke to the entire world with his prophetic writings. In his memoir, The Road to Daybreak, Henry Nouwen describes why he left his professorship at Harvard to live and pray among the developmentally disabled. When Dan, this person who wrote this, visited Liberia in 2006, he was reminded how entire countries remain invisible to the world because they are so insignificant to the geopolitical calculus of the day. For Christians, the delicious paradox is that the missing 90% of Jesus' life, no matter how completely lost to history, was not lost or hidden to God. Not by a long shot, nor is my life or your life. Liberia, Congo, and Darfur are not hidden to God, even though the world ignores them. After raising 6 kids and then experiencing a divorce, my mother lived by herself for 37 years, but none of those years were lost to God. With Hagar the slave who was banished to the desert, we can claim Yahweh, the God who sees me. Her child bore a special name, Ishmael, which in Hebrew means God hears. God sees and God hears. God loves and God cares. God doesn't ask us to lament or transcend our invisibility to the world. God might even disrupt our lives by inviting us to try it. The Apostle Paul writes that our true life is hidden with Christ in God. He described himself as known yet regarded as unknown. In the Beatitudes, Jesus calls us to give, to pray, and to fast, quote, in secret. The unseen Father, says Jesus, sees what is done in secret. However hidden and obscure our lives might feel, either literally or figuratively, whether voluntary or involuntary, in that very hiddenness, God is redemptively present, just as God was with a 12-year-old Jewish boy in an obscure Palestinian village. And the last two stanzas of a poem by Wendell Berry called Manifesto, or The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go. Be like the fox, who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Sure, why not? Can you make it loud enough for us all to hear? Oh, I could put it, yeah, I could hold it here too, right?
Little son. May you receive the honor that you're due.
Thank you, Marty. We're coming to close to 12, but if there's anyone else who would like to share, please do. Spend a little time in praying for those of us we know who are in difficulty, for the needs of the world, and then we will go from here. See in the bulletin there are a number of prayer requests. First of all, we remember Helen at home. She's been visited by all three daughters in the last few weeks. I think that's been a good time, probably an exhausting time too, but it's been good. For Bill, still in Salem, and for Marlene. We also ask that you would pray for Laura's mother, Leanne. She recovers from Guillain-Barré disease or syndrome, and for Laura and Derek as they continue to wait for their new addition. I haven't heard yet. I called yesterday afternoon. The phone was not being answered, so I don't know. Perhaps they were just out for some Christmas socializing or what, but it's imminent, I will say that. And then continued prayers for Laura, Norman and Johanna's daughter, as she battles very significant development in her own prognosis. And things are getting harder rather than better. And so I trust that you'll continue to keep the family, but especially Laura, in your prayers as she battles hard against this real interruption and incursion and threat to her own well-being and life. Let's bow for prayer. God, we thank you for your word that promises where any number of us who are together, that you will be there also, that you hear our prayers, that you answer. We pray for those who've been named, for those who struggle with health issues, for a sense of purpose. We pray at this time for people who have come through the Christmas season thus far, struggling with their own sense of self-worth, with issues of mental health, with other very significant issues of family well-being, or for a sense of hopelessness. We pray for all of those who struggle with maintaining the bare necessities of life, for the many millions of refugees that have struggled thus far, for families that have been split apart, for the warring that still goes on in so many nations, for the family struggles that inhabit not just places out there, but places close to home. We pray for friends, for others who struggle with senses of meaning and purpose in their lives. And we struggle with those of us who are getting older, who are finding greater and greater limitations of life, and for those who are alive but wishing they were not. We pray that you would be with them in a very particular and real way. Lord, we ask that you would be with us even as your Son came to live among us, and that you would give us hope, give us a desire to continue to live as you have taught and given us strength to. And we ask for your blessing, mercy, and strength to carry on even now. We pray that as we look forward to the new year, you would give us that sense of hope of your word growing and spreading in our world, and that your peace would continue to develop in our lives, even as we spread it among others. So we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, the one who came, the one who lives among us even now, and whose birth we have celebrated. Amen. Is there a last song we'd like to sing, or is there any last word you would like to offer? If not, I'd invite you to turn to the Sing the Journey, to the prayer 132, right at the end. And let's just go to the bottom of all and I'm sorry, that was not the one I had chosen. There we go. Verse 130. Together, reconciling God, who holds the brokenness of the world in a vast embrace, restore us to your side, so that we may offer healing and hope beyond our borders. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.